Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and with the situation in Greece sort of kind of resolved for the moment, now comes Italy. With an economy so much bigger than Greece's, if Italy were to default on its debts to the rest of the world, as Charlie Herman was just saying, it would make the problems in Greece look like a glass of spilled milk. Late last night, under intense international pressure, Italy agreed to monitoring of its economy by the EU and the International Monetary Fund. This, as the government of Silvio Berlusconi is said to be near collapse. Which brings us to our next guest, Italian newspaper columnist Beppe Severnini, who expects Berlusconi to handle this crisis, I suspect, with his characteristic lack of tact or judgment or good taste. Severnini, a columnist for Italy's leading newspaper, Corriere della Sera, and a contributor to Time magazine and the Financial Times, has a new book called Mamma Mia, Berlusconi's Italy Explained for Posterity and Friends Abroad. Beppe is one of your friends abroad. I welcome you and your jaundiced eye back to WNYC.
Brian, don't you think the Mamma Mia is just the perfect summary of what is going on?
It's, you know, it's a little stereotyping of your own people, maybe?
And not really. I think it's stereotyping of a situation, of an economic situation and a financial situation. Let's put it bluntly. I mean, the European Union is telling us what to do. The IMF is telling us what to do. The European Central Bank, with an Italian at the helm, Mario Draghi, just appointed, is telling us what to do. And you know what? Thanks God. I mean, because the alternative is Mr. Berlusconi, who's, as a prime minister, I don't think is up to it anymore. I mean, if you want to open the discussion whether he was ever up to it, that's another. But definitely now, no.
Well, we can open that discussion. In fact, in the Italian tradition, you say in your book, Berlusconi's reign in Italy is worthy of the most dramatic of operas. Can you give us, baffled Americans, maybe a condensed libretto of how that opera might go?
You mean the end? Well,
I'm thinking,
you know, don't you say in America, you know, it ain't over until the fat lady sings?
We'd
you know,
say
it
that.
Ain't over.
It's an opera reference.
Yeah. He's not the fat lady, he's a tanned prime minister. But until he sings, and there is a new record of him out in a few days, because among all these, he thinks of, you know, putting out a musical record, a CD or whatever. No, the man, you know, he built his career on complicity with the Italians. You know, he always told us only what we wanted to hear. I never heard, you know, like, do pay taxes or do behave or whatever. So you have a commander-in-chief, we have an absolver-in-chief. And, of course, you for some time, if you do that, you're very popular. As a prime minister, even as a parent, if you're there with your children. But I think it's time now to say some unpleasant things, such as paying taxes. We have to sort out, sell off state asset, raise pension age, and he doesn't want to do that because he hates to be unloved. He wants to be loved. And so now someone else, the IMF, the European Union, the European Central Bank, they're telling us what to do.
Any Italians listening right now? I don't mean you sixth-generation Italian-Americans. I mean actual Italians or people whose parents came over and you still kind of follow what goes on back in Rome and et cetera. You want to give us a call? Is Mamma Mia the way to describe the situation in Italy right now? 212-433-WNYC, or anybody with a question for Beppe Severnini, author of Mamma Mia, Berlusconi's Italy Explained for Posterity and Friends Abroad. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. What are some of Berlusconi's more recent escapades that have him in hot water, legal or otherwise? Something about an underage prostitution is in there, I gather? Prostitute?
Well, she was a belly dancer, official. That's the official title. Yes, there is a trial law about that. It's inducing minor into sex and ba-ba-bam. And that is another about bribing a witness in a trial. That is the third one about tax evasion. So those are the main three. But altogether, sort of 8-9 judicial tangle. And I think one of the reasons why he doesn't want to give up, that, of course, he's he thinks that somehow being a prime minister is a sort of shield. That's another. It's interesting because here in America, people keep telling me, you know, some American friends at least, you know, but we have the same thing. You know, look what's going on now with Herman Cain. And I say, come on, he's an amateur. You know, this, you know, the accusation is about, you know, making innuendos and sexual remarks about pizza toppings. I mean, Berlusconi is another league. You have to understand that.
Here, just so Americans know, a little bit of at least what he sounds like, because we don't get a lot of Berlusconi sound bites in our domestic newscasts. This is 38 seconds of Silvio Berlusconi speaking at a news conference following a cabinet meeting in February of this year. This is dubbed into English, I gather, from the Telegraph of London. And he's talking about these trials that Beppe just referred to.
The thing about these trials, which are false trials, is that the accusations are completely without any proof, and everyone has seen that they're just bringing about a negative media campaign. The thing that worries me, well, I certainly don't worry about myself. I've attained every goal, and I'm a rich man who can spend the rest of his life building children's hospitals, which is what I've always wanted to do. So far as I'm concerned, I make a lot of sacrifices to serve the country. Look, I still haven't been able to go to the dentist because I've got an exposed nerve that doesn't get any better. This is a significantly large sacrifice.
I could just spend my life building children's hospitals, which is what I want to do. I can't even
go
to the dentist.
Not a bad idea, Brian. Not at all. That's the first I hear. I mean, I didn't know, but that's a good idea.
He's making it sound like I'm sacrificing for you, the Italian people, by staying in office on your behalf when I could be out retiring and just being a philanthropist.
Well, my message to my prime minister is do not sacrifice. You know, to be honest, you know, take your time, go build children's hospital. Look, I mean, it's. I think the time is up for him. I think it's probably a matter of days or weeks because there is no way that with no majority, because that we're talking about, last time he had a couple of MPs majority in parliament, now probably not even those. So with no majority, no way he can pass the sort of legislation that Europe has imposed us in order to save the euro, sort of to bring down our public debt, which is 2 trillion euro, a lot of money.
Richard in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Beppe Severnini. Hello.
Yeah, hi. I had a question. Doesn't it really reflect on the people of Italy that he keeps getting elected? It almost kind of seems like we're skirting over the issue, even that we're discussing Berlusconi.
It's a great question. If it's a democracy, it's a great question. Maybe they get and we get the leaders we deserve.
Look, Richard, that's exactly why I wrote my book. I mean, that's exactly why I wrote Mamma Mia. It says Berlusconi explained to foreign friends, because I realize your question makes perfect sense. Look, let me sum it up in a sentence. Berlusconi represents some of the best and much of the worst of the Italians. He's not your typical Italian. Some of the things he does, he's an optimist, he's gentle, and he's fun, and that can be Italian. But also, the way he approaches women and other things, the when he finds shortcuts. And when I say much of the worst, I think there is only one Italian who has got 100% Berlusconi in him, and that's Berlusconi. Over 50% Berlusconi in you vote for him. But believe me, most Italians are below 50%, but no one with 0%. And when they come and tell me, Beppe, no, we have 0% Berlusconi in ourselves, I tell them, please let me have a word with your accountant, with your confessor, and with your wife, and then we'll talk. And they keep quiet.
And sure enough, your book lists several factors that might explain his enduring popularity. And number one is what you simply call the human factor, which is that Italians see themselves in him, correct?
Well, the man is simpatico. I mean, simpatico is the most dangerous word in the Italian language. When you hear simpatico, a sort of alarm bell should be ringing, because simpatico is a kind of in way in many things. But he talks about football. He owns a football team. He talks about television. He loves young women. He used to love his mom, his children, blah, blah, blah. So in that, he really is. You had a president, a man who could have a beer with. You remember your president? Well, he's a sort of that kind of character.
The recovering alcoholic you could have a beer with? George W. Bush.
Yeah, you can have a party with Berlusconi, which is more expensive than a beer.
So that's factor one, explaining his enduring popularity in your book. Another of the factors on your list is what you call the Zelig factor. What's that?
Zelig factor from Woody Allen's film. Berlusconi not only... he wants to be loved, and not only tells you, as I said, exactly what you want to hear always, and he's got a knack for finding human weaknesses. If you got a weakness, Brian is sitting here, he's going to know in 20 seconds what it is, whatever it is. And Berlusconi is one step beyond that. He becomes you. You probably look and say, do I have a mirror here, another Brian? No, that's Berlusconi becoming you. And he's a young with a youngster, an Italian with the Italians, but a Milanese with the Milanese. It's unbelievable. He really wants to be accepted the way Zelig was.
Woody Allen is throwing something in disgust at his Manhattan apartment right now. Woody Allen, if you're listening, call in and defend Zelig's honor. 212-433.
Actually, I talked to Woody Allen about this.
And did
he,
you really?
I think, yeah, I did. And I think he shares, absolutely, he agrees with me 100% on this.
Pino in Teaneck, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Anyhow, just wanted to have some comments about this very interesting conversation you had this morning. I live in Teaneck. I've been living here in this country for 25 years, and like most of my compatriots, I've been looking, especially in the last few years, at the saga which is unfolding in Italy and looks like it's entertaining half of the civilized world. Anyhow, I would just want to say that I'm saddened, not just by Berlusconi. By now, everybody knows who he is and what he's doing, what he's up to. But I cannot help being almost saddened by the passivity, by the resignation that Italians at large have so far seemed to be endured by accepting all this without taking major stance.
Well, that's... Thank you, Pino. Second caller to raise this question of Italians getting the government that they ask for. Before Berlusconi, didn't Italy have like 40 governments in 30 years?
Well, you're touching another point, which is, again, in the book, that Berlusconi is been a long-serving prime minister, and stability also is attractive for some voters. That's very important. The center-left opposition has been, to be honest, hopeless for many years. But you see, you use the word entertained, and he's right, I'm afraid. And to be honest, I think Italy and the Italians deserve better. I think the Italians you see here in New York or in America, and I see all over the world, are a different kind of Italian, and they don't want to be represented by a tycoon-turned-escape artist. It's not what we are. It is true that probably we've been quiet for too long, but for many reasons, including the weakness of the alternative, blah, blah, blah. But now his approval rate is in the low 20s. So we talk about one Italian out of five.
30 seconds. So if his government is really near collapse, as is being reported, who replaces him and what will be different?
Yes, the government is near collapse. I think there won't be an election soon. Probably our former European Commissioner, Mario Monti, will be heading a kind of institutional government or someone else from Berlusconi's party for a year, changing electoral law. But I think Berlusconi is history. I think the escape artist, you know, there is a sad moment when the escape artist is below, is on, you know, at the bottom with the water, and you can see he will not wriggle free of his chains. Too bad, but we don't want to be stuck in the bottom with him, Brian.
Beppe Severnini's new book is called Mamma Mia, Berlusconi's Italy, explained for posterity and friends abroad. We stand enlightened. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we'll meet the director and playwright of The Mountaintop, the new Broadway play about Martin Luther King. Stay with us.